Blog Talk Radio.
Just when I thought the demons I fought were dead and gone, straight out of the blue, someone like you comes along. And I don't have to turn and look over my shoulder. I already know from the sun there's a thousand wild horses thundering behind me, hell bent on running me. Thought I was fast, but the sins of my past were faster still. And I'm wasting my time trying to leave them behind, 'cause I never will. You see, one drink too many, one kiss too deep, and I feel a little shake in the palm. That's a thousand wild horses running behind me, hell-bent on running me down. Each one is branded, each one is mine, each one's a darkness I can't deny. I know they're coming, there's no place to hide. I'm gonna get run down, oh, I'm just a big cloud of dust, but pretty soon I'm gonna do something stupid like I tend to do, and I let them loose. So if you're thinking that maybe you're the one who could save me, baby, this ain't no merry-go-round. It's a thousand wild horses thundering behind me, hell-bent on running me down. It's a thousand wild horses thundering behind me, hell-bent on running me down.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, with my co-host, Ian Bush. That song, A Thousand Wild Horses, was written and put together by music artist Bill Abernathy, who is our guest tonight. He is a Kansas, Missouri singer-songwriter who has released a string of successful singles and albums, starting with 2017's Find a Way, featuring the number one Roots Music Chart single. Say that fast three times. Goodbye Will Never Come Again. Mr. Abernathy continued his streak with another hit album, Crossing Willow Creek, which included the politically charged radio hit Cry Wolf, and yes, we will be playing that one later, as well as three other international hits. His last single, another political release, More Than Meets the Eye, and yes, we will be playing that one, reached the top of the iTunes charts in South Africa, and we are heard in South Africa, and received 120,000 streams on Spotify, 45,000 on SoundCloud, and 37 views on YouTube. All totaled, Abernathy's music has been streamed more than 1 million times. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go now. Do not leave this show. After the show, you can go look him up. This is a testament to the connection that Bill has found with his fans, cultivated by countless live streaming performances and a successful 2020 pre-COVID Southwestern U.S. tour. And I will make my new friend, Bill Abernathy, this promise. After this show, he's going to see so many more hits, because all of the people that I have interviewed that Michael Stover and his company has sent me has gone on to do great things. And so, Bill, get ready for that ride, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Yvonne, for having me tonight. And thank you for playing the new single. It's a really cool song. And so, and I'm kind of excited that you're going to dive into the more politically and socially active songs later. That'd be kind of fun. Yeah.
Well,
here it comes.
As Ian will tell you, Yvonne goes where angels will not tread. They don't just fear to tread; they don't go. So we're gonna have fun tonight. Now, before we talk about 1,000 wild horses, and then I know you probably have already looked up this information, and I'm going to let you run with it after I introduce it.
Of course.
This is a quote from Bill on his website, and I found it very, very interesting because with my writer's mind, I see the visual. So I'm going to read it directly. Quote, imagine yourself in a small mining town on January 28th, 1958. And see, he didn't think that he was younger than me, but he is by several years. You're in a condemned hospital where a mother is giving birth to her fourth child while her husband, covered in coal dust from the mines, paces the waiting room. This is the beginning of my story. From that condemned hospital, through many changes and challenges, to having my songs played all over the world, this is my story. Change always teaches us to be everything we're destined to be. We don't always know what life will bring, what dreams will become reality, what dreams will crash and burn, but one thing is certain. Change is either our friend or our enemy. We choose which. End quote. And take it and run with it, because I know you've got burning questions.
Man, see, it makes me happy, because you did teach me well. I read that same quote, and that was actually my first question of the night, was that...
Bill, what did I tell you? What did I tell you?
There you go. There you go.
That's why we work together. So I that's what I read. You had a lot of successful singles, 3 international hits, 1 million streams. You came from working class family. So my first question for you is, did you think you would reach these heights from a working class family? Because I also came from a working class family. And some of the things that I've done in my life, I never thought I was going to be anywhere near as successful as I am today. And success is measured differently, of course. But for you, did you ever think that coming from that kind of background, you would have the notoriety that you have today?
Well, yes. I never really questioned it. I always just knew that, my dad taught me a lot of really great lessons, and actually he's the inspiration for the title cut for my Find a Way album, because he used to always tell me that if you want something bad enough in life and you're willing to put in the blood, the sweat, the tears, and the toil, you can always find a way to make it happen. And I've lived that. I've lived that my whole life. You know, my dad was a very inspirational guy. He was a 82nd Airborne Trooper in World War II. He was shot in the Battle of the Bulge, taken prisoner, and in a German prisoner of war camp for about 6 months, and almost died, and then got liberated and got healthy and got to be an honor guard for General Patton for a bit before he came back. And he started a career, right, and ended up being top management in a large global company all over the world, and was considered a global expert in many in the field of his expertise. And he did all that with an eighth grade education. So I don't think that I think the limitations that we put on ourselves are a bit societal based. To say that, you know, if you don't have a PhD, you can't be somebody in life. I don't believe that. I just believe that the harder you work, the luckier you are. And I've been pretty fortunate in my life to be pretty lucky. And when it comes to the music stuff, I've been very fortunate to work with some really great people like Michael Stover and many others that have gotten my music out into the ears of people that like to listen to it. And so I think that though it's cool and it's a bit surprising that I'm doing all this kind of later in life than most musicians, I'm not the least bit surprised because, you know, I put in the effort and the work. Yeah.
Yeah. And you raise a good statement, Bill, when you say later in life. I have been in the artistic industry for a long time. And when I first started, of course, indie authors were looked on like we had the plague. And we just kept doing our thing. And now indie artists in all forms of art are being accepted, whether it's painting, whether it's music, whether it's books, whether it's theater. Indie artists have something to bring to the table. And by you validating the fact that it doesn't matter what age we are when we break out, it's the fact that we break out, that we follow that herd of wild horses, if you will, and we do what we are destined to do. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, I think it's a very true statement. I have many friends, full-time, you know, lifelong musicians. And I have many friends that have done some things somewhat similar to me. I think that, you know, one of the things that you have to understand about our life, and we alluded to it, you alluded to it in the quote, is I have a tune that's called Changes. And it's all about how life throws you curveballs, right? Life throws things at you that you're not really prepared for, and how you adjust to that, how you adapt to that, how do you learn to really capitalize on those things is really the tagline of that song, where it just says that change teaches us to be everything we're destined to be. And I think if you embrace change and you embrace the opportunities that you're given and you're not afraid to work a little bit, right, then good things can happen. You know, I just believe that.
So
I'm glad you brought that up, too. Oh, I'm sorry, Yvonne. Go ahead.
No, because we're probably fixing to go in the same direction.
You've got to be from the South because you're fixing stuff. You're fixing the
new
dish.
I am originally from Georgia. You can take the girl out of Georgia, but you can't take Georgia out of the girl.
There you go. The fixing was a tell, see?
Yeah,
the fixing was a tell.
I have many tales of being from the deep South, and I was raised from the old South, so I got two strikes against me. But what I was going to ask you, Ian, is because you are of this newest generation of kids, and Bill and I are from the baby boomer generation, would it be a fair statement to say that this generation of kids might want to embrace not only change, but some of the old paths as well?
Oh, of course. I mean, I've seen so many people that are what we would call old school. You know, I was the kid in high school that still wore a leather jacket, had long hair, and listened to Pink Floyd, and people always accuse me of being old school, but I was also really new school in a lot of the ways that I acted. I think having that blend is what you need to survive, especially in this industry. You have to have a little bit of the old with the new. Somebody once told me that there's not a whole lot of new things, just new thing, or, you know, old things that you think of differently, that you think of it in a new way. And I think for us to do that, we gotta you gotta have the respect for the old, and you have to have the reverence for the new as well. And actually,
what was your statement going to be, or your question?
Probably
the same thing.
Well, a little bit. So I was going to go along the lines of, first off, in the interest of transparency, I went through all your old interviews, and I made sure to ask questions that you have been asked before. So get ready for that one, too.
Oh, good. So you're throwing curveballs at me tonight. Okay. All right.
You are not the first. You're not the last. This is why Yvonne and I work so well together. So I read that you wrote for a long time, and you took a break, and you started again and got a second chance at writing and music. And I know that's what Yvonne did, and I'm assuming, I can't see in a crystal ball, but I'm assuming that's what I'm going to do as well, is that I've taken a little bit of a break, and I'm going to get back into the writing career. So my question for you is, can you explain the power of second chances? How do you recognize it? How do you know that, hey, this is something that I need to get back into now, and I have to start it today. I can't start tomorrow. I can't do any of that.
So I'll go back to what I said earlier, you know, that the harder you're working, the luckier you get, right? So I did the music gig, music thing when I was young, and then stopped. Stopped doing that, had a family, raised my kids, developed a corporate career, and worked very hard at it. And, yes, I'm just going to go ahead and blow this out there. I'm now officially retired.
From 43 and a half years
with one company, which is not something that you hear of very often. So I always say I was either really good at what I did, or they couldn't figure out a way to get rid of me, one or the other. But I had always played, I'd always written. I just had stacks and stacks of lyrics and different things that I'd written, during the time when I wasn't actively doing music. And so I never really stopped. I just kind of stopped performing, really. I raised my kids. My kids were both big-time athletes, Division I full-ride kids, played ball all the way through school, played all over the world. My son, played a little bit of pro baseball. And so, that's a lifestyle that doesn't afford you a whole lot of time to do much of anything else other than, get on airplanes and go watch kids play. And so, it's one of those things that people ask me if I regret that, and I don't. I'd do it again in a heartbeat if I was young. I don't think I could pull it off these days. But love watching them chase their dreams. Love watching them learn how to work hard. Loved watching them learn how to be successful, and then subsequently learn how to fail, because that's part of life, right? The lessons that you have to do. They got done with their school and all their stuff, and I reached into that drawer and thought, I wonder if there is any type of a market for this old hippie. That's what I kind of classify myself as, kind of old hippie music, right? And I went in and made a couple of little recordings, and they got picked up by several radio stations, and they got a little bit of love, and I won a couple of songwriting awards and that kind of thing. And I thought, maybe there is. And so, we went back in and produced another album, far more produced album than the first one, which was the Find a Way album. And it did extremely well and found a pretty good audience out across the globe. And then we followed that up with the Crossing Willow Creek album, which, again, did quite well. Across the world. And so now we've come out with our EP, extended play, four songs that seem to be doing quite well. We released More Than Meets the Eye right before the election of last year, which I thought was kind of fun. And now we've got 1,000 Wild Horses going out, and it's really doing well. And, a lot of people are listening to it, and we're getting a lot of good comments. So I think that, it's a second chance, but it's almost by design, man. It's almost by design. I never wanted to be that guy that didn't get to spend time with his kids because he was always all out on the road, playing and working and doing all that. It was never my thing. So you know, I wanted to invest as much as I could and be as engaged in their lives as I could be. And then, you know, when they picked up and took off and started their own gig, I thought, well, why not? Let's pick up the guitar and see what can happen. And so far, it's done well. Yeah.
Well,
the other thing, too, that I want to know is, like, what's one thing you haven't done yet? And I'm challenging you by saying, don't say you haven't played with Dan Fogelberg, because I know that's who you want to play with. I know that's your person that you would love to be on the stage with. And then when you answer, I'd love to throw that question towards Yvonne as well, that what's something that you haven't done yet that you want to as well. So go ahead with your response real fast.
Well, I've always wanted to play Red Rocks in Colorado. I've always wanted to do it. I've been there many times and saw many shows there. And I've always thought that would be like the ultimate gig, you know, to go and play Red Rocks in Colorado. So that would be one of the things that I haven't done yet. Yeah?
I think we should make that happen. We're going to throw it out into the universe. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm literally writing that down right now, and we're going to figure out how that's going to happen. What about you, Yvonne? What's one thing that you've wanted to do that you haven't got to do yet?
Jump out of a perfectly good airplane with a parachute.
Working or non-working? Do we need to call somebody, Yvonne? Are you okay?
Well, whatever, you know. Sometimes they open, sometimes they don't. But...
Well, you know, Yvonne, my dad was a paratrooper, right? And he used to always tell me that he jumped out of a perfectly good airplane 46 times before he landed in one. And the first time he landed in an airplane, it scared the crap out of him. So
be careful
what you ask for. Yeah, be careful what you ask for.
That is one on my bucket list. And by the way, Bill, I have been to your city, and I absolutely love Kansas City, Missouri. We go there again tomorrow.
Kansas City's a great town. You know, in my corporate career, and then of course with some of the music, you know, I've kind of traveled all over the world, and I think that Kansas City may be the best little big town in the world. It's big enough.
It is neat.
That you have a lot of amenities and things to do, and you know, great restaurants and music and stuff. But it's small enough that people still say hi to you on the street, you know, which is kind of nice. Yeah.
Before I get into these other two songs, tell me about 1,000 Wild Horses, because when I was listening to the songs that Michael sent me to peruse to decide which three I was going to put up tonight, that one just spoke to me. There, I can see that song visually in my head, and because I owned horses and my son owned a Mustang that was taken from a wild herd, I see this song. So how did this song come about?
Well, I'd like to tell you that I wrote it, but I didn't. A guy named Gary Burr, who's a famous, really famous songwriter in Nashville, wrote the song. But the first time that I heard it, I knew that, number one, I needed to learn it. And I knew that at some point it would end up on one of my projects. So one of my things that I do when I record is I always record a cover song or two on my projects to give a little bit of love and give a little homage to songwriters. And Gary Burr just did a fantastic job with this song. The thing that I like about it and where it really strikes home with me is the analogy, right? So, you know, he talks about, you know, all these things, you know, that you have in your life. I like to call them baggage, you know, things from your past, people that you've been involved with, relationships, you know, friendships, that kind of thing, that you know, maybe didn't work out so well, or maybe you had an addiction problem or, you know, that kind of thing. And those kind of things are the baggage, you know, that we carry with us. And Gary drew this fantastic analogy to those things being like a herd of 1,000 wild horses running behind you, hell-bent on running you down, you know. So those things from your past can really weigh you down. They can really, really take you out, you know. But the beauty, one of the beautiful lines in this song is when he talks about in the bridge, he says, again, drawing the analogy between, you know, your drama, your baggage, and these horses, he says that each one is branded and each one is mine. Each one's a darkness that I can't deny.
I know
they're
coming,
so true. And there's no place to hide. I'm either going to get run down or I'm going to ride. And then when I heard that, I thought, you know, that's a challenge, right? Are you going to allow those things to run you down and take you out and mess up your life? Or are you going to just embrace them, understand them, and ride them into the future? And I've chosen to ride them.
Well, I love it.
Exactly.
Because it's sort of like the saying, the things that happen to you in your life do not define you. They were just defining moments.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it, and that's right up there, one of my number one top five songs. I'll probably play this song over and over again and tell people about it. So when people say, you don't have the authority, I'm going to say, yeah, tell me I could, so get over it.
Well, it's funny when you hear about that word, too, baggage. So when you think of baggage, you think of for your father and a paratrooper, you know, he thought of his rucksack, right? He had to carry that thing with him all the time, and it's supposed to have all the things that support him and make him complete the mission, right? But for people who don't have that militaristic lifestyle, they think of baggage being something like a carry-on, that you're supposed to carry that on, and that it's almost too weak of a term for people who understand the demons and stuff that weigh on them, because it's not just a little 30-pound bag. It's a bag that makes you tired. It's a bag that makes you scared. It doesn't always help you. And so that really resonated with me, too, when I read that. And Yvonne, did you know that when he made that song, it was after an 8-month hiatus?
Yep.
So what was keeping him so busy, you think? And I know it wasn't all those COVID live streams, right?
He was busy. he was a busy man creating. So, well, I'll tell you why. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with my co-host and surrogate child, Ian Bush. Yes, I can call him my child because I adopted him. Leave us alone. You wouldn't understand. And my wonderful guest, music artist Bill Abernathy, who I'm saying right here and now, guess we're bringing this man back, because this hour is just not going to get it all done. So I'm just going to tell Michael I'm bringing him back if he'll come back. But that being said, we're going to play More Than Meets the Eye, because this is what he was doing for 8 months.
There's more to this than meets the eye. Decisions based on biased lies, determining who lives and dies, whose freedoms are lost, whose justice is blind. There's so much more to this than meets the eye. There's more to these than meets the eye. When leaders mandate your sacrifice, when your freedom is lost to their compromise, there's so much more to these, so much more to these, so much more to these than
ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with my co-host, Ian Bush, and our guest, music artist, Bill Abernathy. And no, it is not 1969 in Woodstock in New York City. This, I felt like I had just stepped back in time. What an amazing song, Bill. That song resonates with our generation as well as now so much. Where did that come from?
Well, you mentioned my 8 months, right? Yeah. So during during my 8 months of downtime was obviously COVID, right? During the COVID shutdowns and lockdowns and, you know, all the stuff that went along with it. And I'm a bit of a news freak. You know, I like watching the news. I like seeing what's going on. I do have rules when I watch the news because I consider myself to be somewhat apolitical. So I don't necessarily pick sides. But More Than Meets the Eye kind of came out of that period of time when I was watching all these different news stations and seeing all these different agendas. You know, I think that, you know, More Than Meets the Eye is really about taking a step back, right? I think sometimes we can get lost in the weeds, right? Taking a step back and looking into our society, into the various divisions that we've created, the cultural challenge, and clearly the divisive political climate that we've created, right? And taking a step back and not looking so much at the details, the everyday drama, but try to figure out what the heck is really going on. You know, what's the deal? You know, what's going on behind the scenes? And I like doing that kind of thing. I like looking at that. And when you look at what's going on, you know, politically in society, I mean, I was watching the news before we got on the show tonight. So, you know, obviously today was a big day. But when you look at that, you go, what's the deal? You know, is there really more to this than meets the eye? I mean, you see some of the decisions that are made, and they make no sense. You know, they make no sense. And so, you know, when I was writing this, actually my favorite part, my favorite part of this song is the bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bridge just simply says, right? Any time you get to use the word mental masturbation in a song, it's got to be a win-win, right? But the bridge says, the pure misinformation, the mental masturbation, where the talking heads propagate agendas. Their facts are all negotiable. Their talking points adaptable, designed just to keep their seats till this November. I firmly believe that there's a large contingent of folks in public life, the politicians, but they don't really care, you know, if they're doing the right thing or if they're doing things the right way. They're just really just focused on keeping their job, keeping their votes. You know, let's lie to people and give them partial truths and misinformation and disinformation just to make sure that we've still got our J-O-B come November, you know, so. That's really what that song's all about.
Well, Ian, did that answer your question, my dear?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I don't know, man. COVID was a weird time. We talked about it a couple times on this show that, you know, in the beginning it was kind of a spiritual journey, enlightenment, seeing how important it is to have relationships with people face-to-face and all that, and – you know, after a while it got to be a little bit more strenuous than what we wanted, you know, and a little bit harder than what we wanted. And it was, when I heard that song, I definitely really enjoyed it. I could feel your passion behind it. And I think that goes back to your original quote that we talked earlier, that people can feel what you're saying, man. People can feel where you're coming from, and you still have that working class grit to you, and I really applaud you on that, man. I really think that you got to keep that up. You're definitely a unique voice.
No, well, thank you. I'd like Yvonne and I were talking about, I'm really not smart enough to be so, you know, elusive and artsy and all that. You know, I just kind of I like to say what I think, you know. So.
And this is where the three of us, because Ian's the same way. What you see with us is what you get. When someone asks me a question or wants my advice, my first question to them is, are you sure you're ready for the answer? Because you might not like it. So don't ask if you don't want the answer.
Quote from a movie, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. You know, what a great line. What a great line.
Perfect line. Perfect line. So how did you get on top of the charts in South Africa? Because we're heard in South Africa. We're heard right now in over 40 or 50 countries. So you're going to get even more exposure than you did before. When I shut the show down the last time, we had over 500,000 listeners in over 200 countries. So it won't take us long to get back there. But you are heard in South Africa. For the folks that say, well, you know, he's been around a long time, yada, 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 we've already covered that. Was it simply by staying on course?
I think a lot of times in life it's not necessarily what you know, it's who you know, right?
That too.
And, you know, I work with some great people. Some great people, you know, starting off with Michael Stover of MTS Management. You know, he's a great job of getting my music out to the right audiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's done a great job with that over the years. And then, you know, obviously I have some other people that work on social media stuff and that kind of thing. But I think it's all about who you know. You know, I think one of the challenges that a lot of musicians have is they want to super control everything, and I learned in the corporate world that that's not how you're successful. You're successful at getting good people, giving them what they need, and get the hell out of the way and let them do what they do. And
because if you believe in those people, they will do a great job for you.
Exactly. And so, you know, if the people do a great job, I think that. He's done a fantastic job of finding my audience. You know, I'm a little bit different than a lot of folks. I got the whole, you mentioned it, you know, the whole kind of 60s thing going on in a lot of my music. You know, some people call it folk, you know, which I'm very proud of, because folk music has always been music that speaks to the heart, you know, that really can jump in and delve into, the societal and the political aspects of the day. And, you know, I mean, Bob Dylan, you know, just saying, you know, I'm not going to compare myself to Bob Dylan because that's a whole different world. But
oh, yeah. Well, we're not sure what world he's in. I'm not even sure Bob Dylan's on this planet.
Well, you know, but you read his lyrics and you just go, man, I mean, you know, wow. You know, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. You know, it's just a fantastic song, right? So, you know, from a folk standpoint, you know, I think that folk music has always been the type of music that speaks to those kind of things, right? And so, you know, I'm just, like I said, I've just been lucky to have really good people that have done a really great job. So.
Well, I know that Michael and I have been working together for quite a few years, and he sends me the people that he sends me. Not only are true artists, great performers, they are very humble and real people. They're not, like you say, so full of themselves they can't get out of their own way. And Michael's ability to take indie artists and create something so beautiful for them to aspire to. I want to be like him when I grow up.
Don't we all, right? Don't we all? Yeah.
And since Ian, we've already talked about the North and the South, you know where Bob Dylan's from, right?
Yes.
Come on,
I'm not so sure anybody knows where Bob Dylan's from. He just kind of showed
Dylan
up. Right?
Bob Dylan yeah.
He's from the great
Bob
state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's West. See, again, Bob Dylan doesn't even know where Bob Dylan's from, bless his heart. He got lost in the 60s and never came out.
Well, you know, as bad as I hate to say it, maybe the hippies were right, you know, just saying. I mean, you look what's going on today. Maybe they were right.
Maybe they, yeah, maybe they were on to something.
Yeah.
But that song did. I did not go to Woodstock, but that was our generation, and that type of politically charged music was very prevalent in the late 60s, early 70s, when people were protesting Vietnam and music artists were protesting our soldiers. And it's that same vibe. It's that same hippie vibe. And I love that.
You know, yeah, but I think that it's part of, you know, being an artist. You know, and it doesn't matter, you know, if you're a musical artist or you're writing books or you're taking pictures or you're paintings, you know. If you don't talk about things that are prevalent and relevant for today,
you're right.
What's the point? You know?
You are absolutely
right. I mean,
how many songs
do you need about my heart's been broken and my truck broke down? I mean, how many of those do you really need, you know?
And my wife's cheating on me and holding my beer and...
Oh, yeah. You know, I saw a thing the other day that made me laugh, you know, now that we're starting to get driverless cars, right?
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable that at some point some country artist is going to – his truck's going to run off and leave him, and that's going to be a song. You know, my truck done left me down at the railroad, you know. It's
yep.
Inevitable.
My wife and my car left me at the same time.
There you go. Being the key of C, man. Yeah. Yeah.
I see that one coming around the corner. Just wait. It's coming. Well, I want to play this last song, and we are 15 minutes away from the end of the show, so we may be strapped for time, but I still want to play it because I think that this is another one of those songs that is very interesting, and then when you come back, we'll play more. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. We're playing my guest, music artist Bill Abernathy's song, Cry Wolf. Again, it is politically charged, so if you can't handle the heat, just go on and get out the kitchen, but just leave the show on. You don't have to sit in front of your computer, but don't turn us off. You might learn something. We'll be right back.
Who's crying a wolf? We gotta separate the lies from the facts. The truth is calling our names loud and clear, but we're running with the pack that turns to deaf fear. We just got to learn who's crying a wolf. Think first, and the rest will come. Turn on the TV, and what do I see? Elected officials in a broken governmental machine, assuring all the masses they are building this American dream, while spending all the time debating the latest tweet.
Your tax dollars at work.
I turn the next channel, I see a smile so bright.
spreading the gospel that everything's alright. Keep sending me your money, market 501c3. A deduction for you and zero taxes for me.
I'm a scammer
on your grand bull. You gotta recognize the thieves in their tracks. Tell me all your crying wolf. We gotta separate the lies from the facts. The truth is calling our names loud and clear, but we're running with the pack that turned to deaf fear. We have got to learn who's crying wolf. You post their howls in your media feed to get a few likes, follow the tweets. Like sheep you follow these programmed elites, but they are the wolves and we the raw meat.
And it's a feeding frenzy.
We tear down the statues, hide the flags, hide the wars. But George said it right in 1984. The present has full control of the past, so we can repeat it, complicit with our alternate facts.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Are you crying wolf? We gotta recognize the thieves in the tracks. Tell me, are you crying wolf? We gotta separate the lies from the facts. Calling our names loud and clear, the fear running with the pack, the turn of death fear. We have got to learn who's crying wolf. We gotta recognize the thieves in their tracks. Tell me, are you crying wolf? We gotta separate the lies from the facts. The truth is calling our names loud and clear, the fear running with the pack, the turn of death fear.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Cry Wolf by music artist Bill Abernathy. This is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with my co-host, Ian Bush, and our guest, Bill Abernathy. Okay, Bill, real quick, tell me about that song. Where did that one come from?
I had been out playing around with my grandsons and stepped in a hole and torn my Achilles tendon. Yeah? So I had to have surgery. And so I'm sitting at home. I can't move. I can't get up and get around. I have to have my toes above my nose. So it was not the most comfortable at times. And I'm flipping through news stations as well as looking at social media. And I became fascinated with how quickly the latest breaking news or the latest tweet or the latest news flash not only hit the networks on the various networks on television, but also was then, you know, replicated across social media by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And it fascinated me because there's no chance to vet, right? There's no chance you're just taking people's word for
right.
what's really going on. And it immediately took me back to the old fable, you know, who's crying wolf. I mean, we all have them, right? We all have friends on our, you know, social media platforms that are constantly posting things over and over and over again. And at some point, what do? Right? You don't even read it anymore. You just flip past it, right? And they've entered into what I call the cry wolf syndrome. So it doesn't really matter what you say because you've said so much before. Nobody's listening. And I think a lot of times that's the way, unfortunately, our politics are in the United States today, right?
That is true. And our personal relationships as well. Ian, what do you think of that song?
Same themes, honestly. I mean, it's, again, when I heard it, Oh, hello. when I heard it, I think it was yesterday when I was prepping for the show, I definitely has that war anthem behind it, and I like the beat and all that, and everything that you guys said and more, honestly. But I do. I wish I would have heard it, picturing your toes above your nose, like leg bent back behind your head, because then maybe it would have exhibited some different feelings for me. So thanks for painting that narrative for me.
Well, you have to keep in mind, I was sitting in a big chair with my toes above my nose on pillows, taking pain medicines and watching the news. That is the ultimate recipe for a hit single, without question.
Without question. So, ladies and gentlemen, you now know the magic behind the songs. It's not an inspiration that comes out of nowhere. It's from just everyday living, everyday incidences, everyday tragedies, everyday stepping in holes and ripping your Achilles tendon. I mean, it just happens. What can I say? We are creative in our own minds. We can't help it, can we, Bill?
No, sometimes you just, I get asked that a lot. Where does music come from? And I think it's magic. You know, I just don't know. Right? Nobody knows, right? But I think it's just magic. And well, in this particular case, I was probably drugged up on pain pills and said, "Really? Are we really this stupid? Really?"
It's the voices in our heads that tell us what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little scary from time to time, but yeah, that's more true than not, I think, yeah.
It is very, if I don't listen to the voices in my head, and Ian will tell you, if I don't listen to those voices in my head, I literally cannot write and I cannot paint, because if I want something to go one way and the voices in my head want it to go another way, we have this battle and I finally just say, okay, I quit. I give up. Just here, take my hands and use them. Apparently they no longer belong to me.
Yeah, well, it's like we said earlier. Sometimes you just got to learn when to get out of the way, you know.
Right.
Just let stuff happen.
Delegate.
Huh?
Just even the voices in your head, you just delegate. Just let them go.
Exactly. Because
they're gonna do what they're gonna do anyway. Sort of like my children. Guys, we have reached the 5-minute mark. Wow. Here we go
again.
It
never fails.
Now, just when we get started, good. One night we're going to have to do a 2-hour show just for the grins and giggles. But I will ask you, Bill, would you be willing to come back to this land of insanity that you find yourself in?
I think this may be the most sane moments I've had all day long. So, yeah, I'm back. I'm good.
We don't
You're
hear it all right, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, really. Because, like I told you before the show, we never know where this show's going to start, go to the middle, or even end, because it's unscripted. We just go where the voices in our head tell us to go. We can't help it. So,
it's a lot of fun.
It is. I love the voices in my head. In about 30 seconds, can you impart some words of wisdom to our listening audience?
Yeah. Just embrace change. You know, I mean, if you look what's going on in the world today, right? Even today, right? We've got new stuff. We've got new mandates. We've got new this. We've got new this. We've got, you know, people who think that they know the best and you know, they're giving us suggestions and advice. And the only thing that I would tell everybody at this point is to embrace where you are. Know who you are. Logic and reason is, you know, the way to go. Right. So it's a crazy world that we live in. Sit back, enjoy some music, enjoy some painting, read a good book. You might bust into 1984 from George Orwell, just as a hint, because George is more of a prophet than a science fiction writer, I think, based on what's going on in today's world. But just you know, be yourself, you know, try to be unique. Try to be who you are. You were created for a reason. Right. And so
exactly.
Let that reason happen. Let that reason happen.
Ian, have you got any words of wisdom?
I always do after a good show like this. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, going back to the baggage, I was actually talking to somebody about that today, about baggage and my own personal and their personal baggage. And don't judge don't judge baggage on someone else's back thinking that it's light because you ain't carrying it. They are. So
exactly.
Yeah.
I like that.
I loved your analogy about the rucksack too. That was great. That was great. That may end up being a song. Just saying.
I knew you were going to say that.
Uh-oh.
I knew we have that. We have that propensity on this show. We throw out things and then we just let our artists take them and run with them. So there you go.
You got to accreditate that to me, though, because I don't think I've ever been put in a song before. So maybe maybe I'll be side vocals for you. How's that?
We could do it. We could do it, man. We could do it.
Let's do it, man.
So Bill has said he will come back. So I will contact my wonderful, wonderful friend, Michael Stover. And I know he listens to this show. So, Michael, once again, a home run, as usual. Which brings me to Monday night's show. This young man has been on this show before. I absolutely adore him. His name is Matt Weston, and he is phenomenal. Of course, I don't get any bad artists. He is a good dude, and he's so humble and so sweet.
Yeah.
I just want to put him over in a corner somewhere and just look at him because he's just so precious. And then on Tuesday night, a new artist who I've not had before, Dave Williamson, will be here with us. And he should be a lot of fun, too, because apparently he goes by the name Davey, not Dave. But who knows? I'm old. I can pretty much get away with anything. So join us, ladies and gentlemen. And when this show ends, go and look. She's so annoying. Go and look up Bill Abernathy.
Sorry.
And we're going to end with the insanity of this night because we've all three lost it. Who cares? But look up Bill. Buy his music and listen for his new music that I know is going to be coming out because I'm pretty sure if not, it'll be new music does when I do the three new songs we'll play the next time. So, Bill. She goes again. So, Bill, I will contact Michael and get you set up. Thank you again, my friend, for joining us. And, Ian, thank you, as always, for being here, for being my sidekick and keeping me on the straight and narrow. Tonight he didn't send me to my room. I'm so surprised. So
you did good.
I did. So from Off the Chain, I'm Yvonne Mason, your host, with Ian Bush, the co-host, and Bill Abernathy, telling you all, thank you so much for a wonderful hour. Be able to change, ladies and gentlemen. It'll be okay. Until Monday night, I tell you all, good night. Say good night, children.
Night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, John Boy.
Good night.